55:11. That was free. That wasn't in my presentation. Isaiah 55:11, you've probably read this verse 1,000 times. The word of God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." How many of you believe God cannot lie? I believe it wholeheartedly. And I love when you get to the Word of God and you're reading verses like this and you run across something that God promises He will do. He promises right there in Isaiah 55:11, His Word shall not return unto Him void, but it shall accomplish that which He please. And so when you see that, you can see promises in the Word of God that God's going to bless. You can go through the Word of God. You can see where He says, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together." How many of you realized something in 2020 when the entire world shut down? I don't know about you, but I was born on the front or second row. I kid you not. And so with that, I was always drugged to church. Even when I was sick, my dad would say, "Throw up and prove it." If I did, he'd say, "Now don't you feel better? Get in the car." I mean, I had no excuse. He wouldn't buy it. It doesn't matter what I told him or what I said. It was, "You're going to church." When I turned 18, my dad comes to me and he says, "Son, I can't afford to help you buy a house, but," he said, "this one thing I can do for you. You don't have to move out until you get married." So none of his kids ever moved out, but he did say, "You're going to be one rule. As long as you live under this house, you're going to the house of God." So it was always a common thing. It was always something. So I have to be admitted. So when everything shut down and our churches all over the world, I go, "Well, this is going to be fun. I'm going to go watch my pastor preach in my pajamas, drinking my coffee." First week, I was excited, turned on the TV and got my coffee, kicked up in my Lazy Boy recliner, and God does say, "That's a good message, but it was missing something." Second week, I did the same thing. I told my wife, I said, "All right, this is enough. We got to get back to church." My dad said something about going to church online was like kissing your wife over the phone. All you get is the smack and none of the sugar. I said, "That's a perfect analogy." The reason why God tells us to forsake not the assembly of yourselves together is because there's unity, there's excitement, there's energy, and there's just family in the house of God. So when you come to the house of God, you get so much more than watching it online. Talking about tithing, he says, "You bless if you give you 10%, you're not if you don't." I mean, we can go through the Word of God and talk about promises all morning. But what I want you to see here is that I truly believe that every one of us, if we think about it, has understood that God has blessed us when we took the Word of God for full face value. And when you see this, I want to preach this message, the greatest gift that you can give somebody. I read Isaiah 55:11, and I was running across this verse, and I just kept coming back to it. And I said, "He promises that He's going to do something." And so I started asking God to show me a few things. And the first thing He showed me was the amazing ministry of the Word of God. The first and foremost ministry of the Word of God will always be salvation. How many of you understand Romans 10:17? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I truly believe you cannot get saved outside of the Word of God. That's why it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I love the thought that when I was an 11-year-old boy, October the 7th of 1990, my mom was at a church. We were always at church. But one day, that day, that was a particular Sunday, somebody stood up in the back and said, "Pastor, I need to testify." For 2 hours, I listened to people's testimonies about what they were saved from and how God saved them. And so that night, I walked into my mom's bedroom and I said, "Mom, I don't have anything like they talked about tonight." And my mom didn't hesitate. She opened up her Bible, but she got me lost before she got me found. And as a result of that, I came to the saving knowledge of Christ. You see, she showed me what God said and not what mom said. You see the amazing ministry of the Word of God in salvation. Secondly, I want you to see it real quickly, the amazing ministry of the Word of God in growth. My Bible says something in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. I don't know about you, but there's just something about it, and I worry about Christians that they say they never read their Bible or never have a desire to read their Bible. If you're saved, if you've got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside you, you're going to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. That's why it says in James, "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you." It's a beautiful thing when you think about it. How sad would it have been if I would have stayed at the age of 11 spiritually? I never picked up the Word of God. I never grew. I never tried to learn anything. My mom, from the time I got saved, has always stressed that, "Shannon, read your Bible every day." She hasn't stressed marking off the boxes, but she said, "Read your Bible until you get something out of it." Why? Because when you get something out of it, you're going to be thinking and dwelling and meditating on that all day long. That's why the psalmist was so powerful. He said, "In thy word will I meditate day and night." Why? Because it's a great thing when you see the Word of God. You see the amazing ministry of the Word of God in salvation. You see it in growth. I had the privilege in 2011 to work with some missionaries in Philippines, and we sent some Bibles into Baguio City, Philippines. They were doing a 2 million scriptures there, and we sent 3 containers on that project that year, where 200 plus people from the States went over there in different times and passed out Bibles just constantly for over a month. And so what happened was, is when they approached me about it, I said, "You know what, I like the idea, but I still believe discipleship is still part of the Great Command." I said, "I could lead somebody to Christ and leave them alone, and I mean, you're going to probably never see them in the church house." But I said, "That's why God commands you in Matthew." He said, "Making disciples of them." I said, "What's the plan of follow-up?" They said they set up a website and they made maps and different things. They've got pastors in charge of things, and they set up a website where when they pass out these Bibles, they got study helps and insert page in every one of the Bibles that we put in. And so what happened was, in 1 week's time, they saw 114,000 people get on that website saying, "Hey, we received a Bible. What do we do next?" They saw churches that were running 50s or running 100s. We saw churches that were running 100s, running thousands today, even today, still in building projects. Why? Because God did what He said He would do. "My word shall not return unto Him void." You see the amazing ministry of the Word of God in salvation. You see it in growth. Thirdly, I want you to see it in edification. How many of you, just think about it, love it when the man of God gets behind the pulpit of God and preaches the Word of God and you feel good about yourself? I do. Man, I've had enough problems as my teenage years. I like now, since I'm older and wiser, that I say, "Hey, I'm doing that. Hey, I'm trying that." But you know, and also in the turntable here, I like it when he gets up there and preaches on something that I'm not doing and I need to be doing. And so I'm telling him, say, "Lord, thank you. I need to get this right." So I come to an old-fashioned altar and say, "Lord, help me. I need it." It's edifying. I had the privilege. I was in New York. Please don't tell anybody. Met a pastor that met for the first time, and he says, I need you to come to our missions conference. It was just a couple months later, and so we left there. I just met him, and he calls me, and he says, Brother Lamont, do you have any Chinese Bibles? I have a Bible like that on my table. And I said, I've got a few. I don't have many, but I said, I have a few. And he said, please send me one. So I sent him one, and he calls me and says, I just want to let you know that I got it, and the lady that asked me for it is on the way. I said, praise the Lord, thought nothing else about it. 5 to 6 months go by, and all of a sudden he calls me and he says, Brother Lamont, you remember that Bible you sent me? I said, sure. He says, I've got to read this letter to you. He says, Dear Pastor, thank you for getting me this Bible. I got it into China. I don't know about you, but that did not impress me none, because I know missionaries in China. They say there's open providences and there's closed providences. But after thinking about it, I realized that she lived in a closed providence of China. But China is the number one Bible producer of the world. They just don't know what Bible to produce. So you can see why I was thinking that way, and why when I got to thinking about it, I got excited. But she signed off this letter, and it changed my life forever. She said, I want to also let you know that right now, every member of my family is handwriting them their own copy of the Word of God. I got off the phone with that pastor with tears in my eyes, and I looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to handwrite me a copy of the Word of God. I got to Genesis chapter 22 and said, this is ridiculous. I have a printing press. It's not that easy. And for somebody to want it so bad, it's edifying. Second point I want you see the amazing ministry of the Word of God. I want you to see the amazing multiplication of the Word of God. This is where this verse jumps out of the page. You can see the amazing multiplication of the Word of God and expansion. Every missionary, even I was talking to some this week that were working on a container for Uganda, that says, hey, can I ask you a question? How many people does one Bible, one scripture touch? And they had said at least 8 people, if not more. And I'm sitting there thinking, I said, for all my life, 18 years of traveling, I've been talking to missionaries, and every missionary says 8 to 20 people's lives. And you know what that tells me straight up the front? That tells me the world's not unreachable, it's just unreached. Because just like the illustration, if there's 8 billion people that live on this planet, we ought to be able to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ by printing 1 billion scriptures. You see the expansion here of 8 to 20 people's lives. How many people's lives did your Bible touch? I'm going to explain something to you that I asked this guy, missionary to Uganda, to explain to me. I said, can you explain to me how it does it? He said, Brother Lamont, that's easy. He said, you go into a village and somebody finally gets a copy of the Word of God. They're excited, so they go home and they start reading it morning and night to their family, their wife and their daughter and their son. And the neighbor hears that they have a copy of the Word of God. And they finally say, hey, can we come over? And they say, yes. Or they say, hey, why don't we come over to your house at a different time? And we'll read it to your wife and to you and to your kids and to your family. And they say, he said, for no telling how long it just takes. And they start reading the Bible as a community. Why? Because they finally got a copy of the Word of God. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. People can get saved as a result of the Word of God. Second thing I want you to see about the amazing multiplication of the Word of God is, what about the expectancy? This ministry has and will never try to replace a missionary. The missionaries need to be on the foreign field, but they need the tools that they need to do the job that God's called them to do, and that's the Word of God. We wouldn't send a soldier to war without a gun. Why would we send a missionary to war without the sword? And you see that every year, missionary friends of mine have to come home off the field. Missionary friend to Belize went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're going to die if you stay here. He had to come. home. Missionary friend of mine to India went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to die if you stay here." He had to come home. Had a missionary friend of mine to Sri Lanka, got a knock on the door, and it was the police. They said, "Hey, we want to know what you're doing here." And he told them, he said, "I'm here to tell your people about Jesus Christ." And they walked in with a file about a foot thick, and he said, "We know, we've been following you for a year." And said, "We came to confiscate your kids and to take you to jail." But he said, "Because you were honest with me," he said, "give me your passports and I'm giving you 30 hours to get out of the country." Say, get out and never come back. Those Bibles we sent them are still over there doing the job that God's called them to do. Why? Because Isaiah 55:11 is real. My word shall not return unto me void. I had a friend that was a Gideon, and this was years ago, that was telling me the story of a Bible that they gave somebody, a teenager, and they got mad, just threw it in the trash right there on the street. And down the road, there was a mother that was depressed, and a young teenage daughter that was going to school. And the mother kissed her and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that your mother loves you." And so the young teenage daughter was walking down the street, and she gets down so far, a few blocks down, and sees in that trash can one of those Bibles that were thrown in there. And so she grabs it. Instead of running back to school, she runs all the way back to her house right before Mama pulled the trigger. She busts in the door and said, "Mom, look what I found." Where somebody thought they were doing injustice by throwing the Word of God, God was moving it to a point where He needed it to be. And so as a result of that one Bible, the daughter saved her mama's life, and they both got saved, and they're both faithfully attending church. Tell me God's not real when it comes to my word shall not return unto me void. Last thing I want you to see this morning is the evangelistic cycle. You see the amazing ministry of the Word of God. Now you see the amazing multiplication of the Word of God in evangelistic cycle. How many of you have ever sang songs like "Each One Reach One"? My wife and I, we taught 5 years to 8-year-olds in junior church before the Lord called us out on the road. And we would get in there and we would sing songs like "Each One, Reach One." And I don't know about you, but I love math. It makes sense. Math does not lie if it's done right. And so when you're talking about that, what that tells me, that if everybody in this room this morning would make it their goal to reach one person in 2025, guess what we did going into 2026? We just doubled in size. That's the purpose and the point of the church, is to tell others. That's my goal every year. Say, "Lord, give me one. Lord, give me one." I'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But here's the beautiful thing about the evangelistic cycle. If everybody did that, that would make sense, would it not? We just doubled in size. So I got to thinking about that, and I called a missionary friend of mine to Kenya. We just sent a container to, and I was telling him about that, and I said, "Would that work in Kenya?" I said, "That don't work in the United States, but would that work in Kenya?" He asked me, he said, "What are you thinking, Brother Lamont?" I told him, I said, "You're going to open up a container of 30,000 Bibles. You're going to preach several times through the week. You're going to have crusades, and you're going to pass out Bibles all week, and you're going to be doing altar calls. You're going to be seeing people saved." And I said, "What I'd like to ask you is, don't give them Bibles at first, but I want you to come to the altar, and I think you got altar workers there that you're going to lead them to Christ and show them." And I said, "What I'd like you to do is ask them to sit down and ask them," said, "Hey, I've been asking, challenged, that we're going to ask everybody in here to reach one. What I'd like you to do is I would want you to come get a Bible, and I want you to read it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to write things down. I want you to study how they taught you and went through the plan of salvation with you. And I want you to ask for God to give you one. And when God gives you one, I want you to turn around and give them that Bible." The missionary said, "That sounds great, Brother Lamont, but why would somebody that's wanted a Bible all their life turn around and give it away?" I said, "That's a good question. How about I give you 30,000 more within 12 months if they do it?" He said, "Your own." He calls me months later and he says, "Brother Lamont," he says, "I cannot tell you that everybody did it. But," he said, "Brother Lamont, it was fun to see the ones that did." He says, "We'd be in those dusty roads of Kenya. I'd be talking to somebody on the side of the street, and all of a sudden I'll see somebody walking with one of your Bibles in it, and see somebody in the distance, and they'll go straight there, and they'll start talking to them, pointing at verses in the Bible. And you'll see them bow their heads, and you'll see them give them that Bible. You'll see that total stranger hug that Bible and just weep over it." He said, "I saw it about four or five times," and he said, "I finally went to the man that just gave their Bible and said, 'Why would you give your Bible away?' Thinking," he said, "the nut that sent the Bibles, or you told us to," he said, "that's not what they said." He said, "Because 30,000 more in my country will do far greater good than me keeping my one." You see the evangelistical cycle. When you give the Word of God away, you give more than just the Word of God. You give hope. You give love. You give meat. You give milk. You give bread. You give life. You give comfort. How many of you realize you give salvation? Why? Because you give them Jesus. 1 John 1:1, still in the Bible. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's why I say that this is the greatest gift you could ever give somebody else. Because it's the only gift that can change a life, change eternity, change a family, change a home, and change a generation. I had the privilege. I was in Washington State. I preached a couple meetings in Washington State, and an elderly lady come up to me, and after I got done preaching, and looked at me and said, "Brother Lamont, you don't understand. I don't know about you, but don't come up after me I preach. Come before me and tell me I don't understand, you know. Because my mind, I've ADHD. I start thinking of everything that I did say and I shouldn't have said. And so I'm sitting here looking at my wife going, 'What did I say?' And she's going, 'I don't know.' And so this elderly lady looks at me and says, you don't understand." Then she goes into this amazing story that she was born in communistic Ukraine. She says, "I was the oldest of four, so it was my job to take the Bible that my dad acquired, wrap it up into a fabric, and put it inside a notched-out brick in the fireplace." She said, "For years, we would get that Bible out every day, and we would take it to the table. We would read one verse, or we would read one chapter, then we would wrap it up, put it back in the notched-out place in the fireplace, and we would come back to the dinner table, and we would talk about what we just read." She said, "Brother Lamont, that was our favorite time of the day. One day we just particularly, I got that Bible out and got that knock in that door, wrapped that Bible back up, put it inside that notched out brick in that fireplace, lit that fire to watch them ransacking our house. And while they were doing that, I looked over there in that fireplace, that fabric had fallen into that fire, and that fire was going up into that Bible. So when they left, I ran and put that fire out and pulled that Bible out, and it was nothing but ashes." She said, "Brother Lamont, for almost 10 years, we lived without the Word of God because I messed up." She said, "I remember like it was yesterday. We moved to America. The very first thing we do is we land in Washington and we go to the bookstore here and we get us a Bible, and we were enjoying the freedoms that we so longed for. We left our Bible on the table. We read it morning, noon, and night. I had to get a job to help Dad live in America, so I started working at a factory here in Seattle. And so I would go work thinking that, hey, I'm living in America. Everybody wants to talk about God." So I'd go to work every day and tell my co-workers what I'd learned in the Word of God, hoping they would tell me what they learned in the Word of God. But she said, "That's not what happened." She said, "I heard two things from my co-workers. That's in the Bible, or you talk about this too much." She said, "Brother Lamont," he says, "I was as sincere as I could be that we had always hungered for the Word of God because we didn't have the freedoms we wanted. We get to America and we finally got the freedoms and we're enjoying it. But he said, I've learned that Americans, since they had the freedom, they neglected the very book that brought them to it. He said, Brother Lamont, the reason why I said you don't understand is because right here I want to tell you, I told you all that to tell you this, that nobody's going to care what you're doing in Shelbyville, Tennessee until they fall back in love with the Word of God. I was crying, my wife was crying, and I said, ma'am, I said, I wish I could argue with you. I said, up until this point, you're probably right, I've neglected the Word of God. I get up in the morning and go to my favorite chair and read my Bible, and by the time I get there, a phone ring, I have to deal with something and say, I get it at lunch, don't get to take a lunch. Say, I'll get it before I go to bed. Don't get to go to bed till I'm plumb exhausted. Say, I'll get it tomorrow. I said, there has been a few days that it's gone by that I've not read my Bible. But I said, effective immediately, the next time I see you, if the Lord allows me to see you again, you're not going to say you love your Bible more than me. You understand, I want to ask you this question to circle all this thing. You see the amazing ministry. You see it in salvation. You see it in growth. You see it in edification. You see the amazing multiplication of the Word of God right here. Isaiah says, my word shall not return unto him void. You know that God promises it, so how? So you can see it in expansion. You can see it in expectancy. And you can see it in the evangelistic cycle. You can see it. But my question is, how much do you love the Word of God? Is it just a book? Because I've come to realize that the Bible has become America's most favorite nightstand decoration or coffee table ornament. You see, the Word of God is meant to be read, not meant to be looked at or carried. I've never been one of those. I don't understand people. I go to conferences all the time, and you'll see the first three or four rows lined with Bibles, and they get out of church, and they leave their Bibles there so their seat's saved for the next day. I said, I don't know about you, but I have to have my Bible. I mean, if I got to put my Bible there for all week to save a seat, I mean, put me in the balcony, because I got to have my Bible. And when you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, when you want to draw nigh unto Him so He can draw nigh unto you, you will start having a hunger for the things of God. Say, Lord, teach me something in that book, because if you don't, I'm not going to be the same man I want to be. Just like that Ukrainian lady saying, nobody's going to care until they fall back in love with their Bible. I had a pastor's wife make this statement to me. He said, Brother Lamont, I believe that if everybody would pick up their Bible and blow the dust off of it, America would see the greatest dust storm it has ever seen, and it would make the 6 o'clock news. I got to thinking about that, and I said, I hope she's wrong. But I bet she's right. You know, until the things of God became important to me, yeah, I would read it on occasions. Yeah, I would read it to check the box off. But until the things of God became important to me, I want to read it until I get something out of it. I want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to you. And that's how the church grows. And that's why I say that this is the greatest gift that you can give somebody, but it is also the greatest gift that you have in your possession. So how much do you love the Word of God? I could tell you a lot more stories. I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. I was given the privilege a few years ago, a missionary asked me to go to Brazil and preach a Bible conference, and I've never done that before, so you got to understand that I was a little nervous and hesitant of booking my ticket and even agreeing to it. And so I got about, I think it was within about 2 months of going to Brazil, and telling my wife, I said, start looking for me a ticket. I'd like to know how much they cost and everything. And so I was just kind of dabbling with the idea of going. And so all of a sudden, a missionary has to call me, and he said, Brother Lamont, we have to cancel our Brazil trip. And I said, Brother, we can't cancel it. I've already sent the container. It's on its way. I can't just reverse the boat and say, hey, we need that back. And he says, I know. He says, but I've got a man here in the church. I've asked him to receive it. But he said, my wife has contracted leprosy, and we're having to come home. I thanked him for telling me, and I said, thank you. I said, man, we'll be praying for your wife. And so they received the container, and over there in the Brazil and jungles, down the Amazon River, if you're not a native, you have to be invited off by one of the locals in the village going down the Amazon River. And so he said, we were in a river boat, and we were floating down the river, and he says that we were down there, we'd go village to village, and he said, if you're an American missionary, you have to be invited off by one of the natives. If you're native, you can just come and go. And he says, so the natives that I was with would go to the village and say, hey, would one of y'all come invite one of our friends out off onto the village so that they can preach and pass out Bibles? So he was doing that, and while they were waiting on the invitation to get off the river boat, a man in a canoe came about up to the boat and said, hey, are you the ones passing out Bibles? And he said, yes, sir. He said, well, I just heard rumors that there might be somebody passing out a Bible. He said, nobody in my village has a Bible. And he says, I wanted to get them one so I can come get one, and would you please give me one? And so they brought him into the river boat while they were waiting, and they talked to him, and they gave him, I think it was 4 cases of Bibles, which would have been almost 100 Bibles. And then they got to talking to him, and they said, where did you come from? And they told him, and so they did some figuring when they were left him, and they said that he was 350 miles down the Amazon River. So I like math. I've already mentioned that. So I asked him, I said, how long did it take him to get there, and was that upstream or downstream? And he said, that was downstream. He said it took him a little over 2 weeks to get there. I go to get one Bible? He said, yeah. I said, did he get in a plane and fly back, or did he row his canoe back upstream? He said, he rowed his canoe back upstream. I said, do you know how much long it took him to get there? He said, at least 3 months to get back home. You see, right there in Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. We got to take God for face value. If He says it, we know He's going to do it. This is a check that we can cash and send to the bank because He's going to back it up. And so with that, I want to ask you this in closing. How much do you love the Word of God? Is it just a book, or is it something so much more? Would you please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Pastor, would you come?